I'm Marty Moscoane, and this is Radio Times.
The most fun story of the week, this.
Well, the Philadelphia Flyers have a new mascot, and fans are saying, what the? That's 7-foot-tall Gritty. Gritty unveiled today in front of a group of kids, probably scarred for life.
Yeah. Yeah, those kids should be scarred for life. Gritty is f***ing horrific. And incidentally, it's not like Gritty has any business being a hockey mascot.
Apparently, he hasn't really figured out how to navigate on the ice yet. He fell multiple times in his debut last night. The Pittsburgh Penguins tweeting, LOL, okay. To which Gritty responded, sleep with one eye open tonight, bird.
Holy s***, Gritty, calm down. They're just engaging in some inter-team banter, and you've gone straight to, I will murder you in your sleep.
That's the unmistakable voice of John Oliver introducing his audience to Gritty, the 7-foot-tall orange Philadelphia Flyers mascot who has been adopted and embraced by some strange bedfellows, sports fans, and apparently Antifa. More on that later. Well, I asked our Facebook audience to describe him, and here's a sampling. Annabelle said Elmo on meth. Laura said he's the embodiment of no one likes us and we don't care, channeling the Eagle Center. Beth, nightmare on Sesame Street. Reginald, the embodiment of Philadelphia sports fans, hated by everyone else but themselves. And Bill, channeling his mother, Gritty looks like a hockey player. You can go to our Facebook page to read more and leave your description. Now, Gritty made his home debut last night, but was not able to help the Flyers, who lost 8-2 to the Sharks. WHYY's Jake Blumgart and Jim Saxa, who write for Plan Philly, are obsessed with Gritty, and they join us here in our Philadelphia studios. Jake, nice to have you back.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Nice to have you with us, Jim, as well.
Great to be here.
So, Jim, why do you... Love? Is that too strong a word?
No, love is the absolute right word.
And the reason, why do you love Gritty?
I think it's kind of amazing that they were able, the brilliant minds that came up with Gritty, they were able to really get at the heart of what it is to be a Philadelphian and a Philadelphia sports fan. And that is this idea that one of your listeners said it, you know, the personification of Philadelphia's idiosyncratic relationship with itself in the city. And that is, we have a schizophrenic love-hate relationship. Like, we can make
with
fun of Philly.
With everything, right?
Yeah. We can make fun of Philly. No one else can. And Gritty brought that out, like, immediately. We were all, like, horrified for a half second. And then the rest of the world caught on. And then we're like, hey, guys, no. Go blank yourselves. This is ours. You cannot make
the
fun of them.
The rest of the world hated Gritty.
We loved him. Exactly.
Of course. Exactly. Of course. Jake, let me quote something that you wrote in your piece about Gritty, which I love. It isn't every day that a corporation-created carpet monster is celebrated by communists.
Exactly.
How did this happen?
That is a little unclear, although, I mean, I think it is pretty much just that the news these days is so unremittingly bleak and grim, and people just wanted to grasp on to this huge orange hairy beast because he was fun and he was weird and he was not, you know, Trump. He was not climate change. He was not any of these, you know, horrible things. They're just always in our Facebook feeds and just these grim face-offs in Washington and, yeah, Gritty.
But there he is. He was President Trump was in Philadelphia and we saw, most of which we can't say on the radio, we saw Gritty signs.
Oh, yeah. A whole lot of Gritty signs. But I also feel like it's, to an extent, it's kind of grasping at straws, because right now the left doesn't really have any power. So you've kind of got to hold on to whatever you can hold on to. And again, you have this huge orange beast who's like came out 2 days or maybe like a week before that. And, you know, you just got to go with what you got.
Yeah, I think it's like the flip side. We talk a lot about the apathy of voters. We used to, right? No one's talking about apathetic voters anymore right now. And we've gone to the exact opposite, where we are politicizing pretty much everything as a political angle now, including this hellion, orange freak that we call Gritty. Which is, again, I think also amazing.
Let me just give out the phone number because we want to hear from our listeners. 1-888-477-9499. What's your take on Gritty? You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Well, we heard from a number of Antifa people who left really fascinating emails on our email site there. And let me just quote a couple of them. I would propose that Gritty exemplifies the id of the modern American left, grotesque, yet friendly, rebellious but not reckless, and a proud member of the community who's always happy to spread the wealth locked and loaded inside a T-shirt cannon. Gritty represents the perfection in the imperfect, beauty in the ugly, and the, yeah, it's a dump, but it's our dump, but we love it mentality that makes Philly great. When you fight fascism, you fight for that. You fight for Gritty. Gritty rebels and fights for freedom with the same zeal as a drunk Eagles fan scaling a greased-up pole, but Gritty is also love and solidarity. This is my favorite. This is from an anonymous concerned citizen who writes, I really shouldn't be saying this, but I'm an accountant at George Soros' office, and I saw Gritty's name on a W-9 there. So definitely Antifa. What do you think of this, Jake and
well,
Jim?
I look forward to hearing Breitbart report on that connection in a couple of days. But
you know it's coming.
Oh, yeah. Well, so this is one of the things I again, really love and it just fascinates me is that it's ironic that the city's, you know, Marxists essentially have so quickly and eagerly appropriate Gritty for their own cause. And that's because Gritty only exists for one reason, and that's to make the Flyers money. It's to sell more tickets sell more merchandise.
And apparently it's working.
Early in the season, yes. We'll see. But the amazing thing is the Flyers, you know, while it started off as, you know, Ed Snyder's baby, they're a wholly owned subsidiary of Comcast right now, and which is the largest corporation in the city and not exactly beloved by the left for various reasons. And, you know, it's a personification of capitalism in that way, right? That they take something, they manipulate emotions to make profit. Like that's kind of amazing, and kudos to the design team for doing it so well.
You're nodding your head there, Jake.
Yeah, I would also say that it's just because right now the left in the city is quite kind of strong, and there have been a lot of like left wing movements that have scored some real wins recently, and so I feel like. And, you know, this is a city where Trump is not very popular. So it was kind of course, when he came to town and this thing had just come out the week before, is going to be used against him, you know? So I think that was also just a big part of it, was just the pure timing. And this is a city that is quite left-wing right now.
Let me read a couple of more. Again, these were email comments sent to us from representatives, members of Antifa, or people just having some fun. And this is one from Anlin. A true representative of the city that welcomed Santa Claus with snowballs would clearly be willing to welcome neo-Nazis with fists, solidarity forever with Gritty, unless he endorses war with Iran or something. Also quite good there. Speaking of oppression, Gritty stands in solidarity with other marginalized peoples like the Philly Fanatic and whatever the hell the Eagles mascot is.
Swoop.
Swoop.
It's an eagle. Large eagle.
It is a large eagle. There's a long comment from Larissa. I'm probably not going to do justice to it. She's quoting Roland Barthes, critical theorist. About artistic intent behind a cultural artifact.
I'll just say I agree with her right now.
Well, let me go on. In his view, the identity and historical context behind a work of art should be irrelevant to our interpretation of the piece. If we apply Barth's framework to Gritty, we can allow that Gritty has rapidly transcended his corporate origins to become an avatar of the working class. Well done there, Larissa. You agree there, Jim?
I agree that I mean, I think it's a that I'm just I'm unpacking.
You're thinking,
that.
Right?
I'm unpacking that. I mean, it's so difficult to I think really what we're getting at is it's so difficult to interpret anything right now outside of the context of everything that's going on. And I think, as Jake said, we're a pretty lefty city.
Yeah.
We're a pretty lefty region now. When you look at who the Flyers fans are, we're looking at, you know, really South Philly, North Delaware, and Southeast Pennsylvania. This is a part of the country that very likely at the end of this election will be represented only by Democrats, which is kind of amazing. And is a historic shift from where we were not even that long ago, but, you know, for the last 100 years or so before that. And so it is very unsurprising to me that Gritty, you know, this new mascot that comes on the scene, has become the emblem of the left wing.
Yeah. Here's a comment from Micah from Fishtown, who says, I'm pretty sure Gritty's emergence, birth, question mark, coincided with a giant tire and rubbish fire in Kensington. Does not sound like a coincidence to me. Jake, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot going on with that fire. There was the Elmo guy who was walking around with the drumline, you know?
Oh,
so perhaps
I missed that part.
Oh, you missed? Oh, Marty, you got to
look
that up on YouTube.
That's why you're here, Jake,
it was,
right?
It was beautiful. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there was, you know, a lot of Muppets that emerged from that fiery blaze, you know? A whole army, perhaps.
Right. You know, it's funny, as I was putting the show, we were having fun putting the show together yesterday, and I kept thinking, you know, Gritty and Banksy. We have to figure out how to get those two together. Banksy, of course, the quote-unquote anonymous artist who leaves his signature all over the place, and apparently one of his paintings was bought and then it's self-destructed.
Yeah,
I just felt like there's got to be some synergy here.
As long as you know, Gritty doesn't self-destruct, I'm with you.
And I also think it's worth pointing out that no doubt, you know, Trump folks will also try to absorb him into their movements at some point as well. And there, I do kind of think that you know, sometime in the coming days and weeks, there will be a kind of war over this guy.
Over Gritty?
Over Gritty, yes.
And so he won't be the great uniter, but the great divider, you think?
Well, but everything. I mean, we fight over everything now.
Well, so this is, I think, an interesting point. And like,
this is Jim
Sands. You know, sports, you know, one of the beautiful things about sports is that it can unite people. That, you know, no matter what team you root for, you know, we're all at the game and we can enjoy the game together. But like, even more importantly, no matter what your race, creed, color, you know, like if you root for the Flyers, you bleed orange, right? And that sort of unifying thing is one of the things I love most about sports. And so my hope is that, you know, both sides sort of do appropriate it a little bit, and that, you know, it doesn't get too political. That this is, you know, perhaps a momentary blip, that it is only the left's symbol.
Well, let me just remind our listeners that I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. Jake, you didn't look convinced by Jim's argument there, that somehow Gritty is going to bring us together.
Yeah.
You see warfare?
Well, I mean, it's just, as I said before, this is an era in which we fight over every last little thing. And I don't really foresee this being, you know, something that will escape that. I mean, people just seem to look for any reason to go after each other's throats these days. And I don't see why Gritty would be an exception.
Do you see the John Oliver bump, though? I mean, very clever. And I believe he put him on the Supreme Court when the episode was over.
He was a stand-in for Brett Kavanaugh. So there's and he was also on a lot of the other late night
he
shows.
He was, yes. Yeah. He made the rounds.
Mean, I've never seen a mascot take off like this and hit. Yeah, I mean,
I can't think of one that ever has like this. I mean, the Fanatic actually took a long time to really catch on, and we the Phillies had, oh, I'm blanking on the names, but they had these two twins first, and like they did,
I'm sorry,
not
Adam Whisper, Phil and Phyllis.
Hey, there you go.
That's Adam Staniszewski, our engineer, talking in my head here. Phil and Phyllis.
Yeah. They didn't work out.
I was going to say.
We don't know what happened to Phil and Phyllis.
But so do you see, Jake, do you see this as then some kind of corporate genius at work? I mean, taking this.
Oh, yeah.
What is the word? I don't even know, for Gritty. And yeah. Here we are.
You know, I mean, we're talking about him on public radio.
Has adopted him, and here we are talking about him on public radio. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I think Jim was exactly right. I mean, especially given that Comcast, which is a company that a lot of progressives in the city have a lot of, you know, negative feelings towards, that they're making money off of this is a weird irony.
It sure is. Can you live with that, Jim? We're almost out of time.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's brought a lot of joy, and, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Comcast, per se, but, like, I think they can do good things, mm-hmm. and I think Gritty is one of the best things to happen to Philadelphia this year.
Well, on that happy note, I'm going to end the show and thank you, Jim Saxa, and you, Jake Blumgart, for joining us on Radio Times.
No, thank you, Marty.
You're very welcome. Talking about Gritty.
Thank you, Gritty.
And thank you, Gritty, of course, bringing us all together, at least so far. And I should say that our guests, Jake Blumgart and Jim Saxa, write for Plan Philly, which is here at WHYY. Well, you can add your description to Gritty. Go to our Facebook page, and there are a lot of examples there. You can add yours as well. And if you're from Antifa, go ahead, do the same. Adam Stanishevsky, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, the show produced by Debbie Bilder, John Ahrens, and Alex Stern. I'm Marty Moscoe. Thank you so much for joining us.